Last weekend's consistory in St. Peter's Basilica saw the creation of 22 new cardinals for the Catholic Church. Among those elevated to the cardinalate was Fernando Filoni, prefect of the Congregation for the Evangelization of Peoples. To learn more about the work of evangelization and missions, Christopher Wells spoke to Oblate Father Andrew Small, the National Director of the Pontifical Mission Societies in America, about the task of evangelization today.
Thanks for having me here today, and it's great to be in the Eternal City, in the home of our Mother Church, where the Holy Father, as you said, raised 22 prelates to become cardinals, and spoke about the important nature of it. One of the things he highlighted is how it shows the universality of the Church. It was great when we filed in for the consistory. You see the different faces, the colors, even the different vestments. Some of them I don't fully understand, but you realize, even though I'm now working in the missionary field in the United States as national director, as you said, the Church is always much bigger than you think it is. And just when you feel you have a good handle on it, a good view of it, it's like a prism that turns on its axis, and another shaft of light comes through. And the Holy Father, as our chief missionary, he's the big boss, let's say. He's the one who holds all that together and is very much the symbol of unity, which he was highlighting these days. We have two that I know somewhat well, even though Cardinal O'Brien, who was from Baltimore, I worked with him when I worked in the U.S. Bishops' Conference for many years on the whole question of international justice and peace, which was the office I was working in. He was very concerned about peace in the Middle East and the Holy Land, so it's sort of appropriate now that he has that job of the Equestrian Order. But him and Cardinal Dolan, who I got to see afterwards, and Cardinal Filoni, and that terrible scrum of a receiving line that he has in the Apostolic Palace. It's just been a great day, and I've been bringing some friends and supporters from the missions here to Rome, so we've been going around visiting the holy places and having something of a pilgrimage, really.
Now, you're the National Director of the Pontifical Mission Societies in the United States. America was, for many, many years, a mission territory itself. Now it is less so, and it's sending out missionaries to the rest of the world. How does that affect your work?
The beautiful story of the Pontifical Mission Societies, and one of those Pontifical Mission Societies people know very well, is the Society for the Propagation of the Faith, founded by Pauline Jericot, whose death we celebrate 150 years of this year. She's a great, she's a venerable. We're hoping to move her cause forward. You know, she was one of the people who saw the great needs in the mission territories of Louisiana, Kentucky, the great diocese of New York, which was pretty much most of the East Coast of the United States. She said, these folks don't even have a seminary. We've got to do something. We got something like half or a third of that first collection in the United States. Within 100 years, we were no longer mission territory. And we now provide, at least financially, upwards of about 30% of the support for 1,150 dioceses around the world, which is more than half the globe, in fact, and that's the department that our beloved Cardinal Filoni presides over. So it sort of gives you that vast expanse, but it teaches me, you know, that gospel phrase, what we do to others falls back on ourselves, but the good we do to others also redounds on us. We were once great receivers of missionary support and animation and solidarity, and now we do that with others. And it's the giving and the receiving in many ways are two different acts, but they're all part of the same gesture. You know, nobody, as Fulton Sheehan, the famous archbishop of one of my illustrious predecessors, once said, nobody's too poor that they can't give, but more importantly, nobody's too rich that they can't receive. And you see that going on. I see that here in Rome, which is why it was so good to be here during these days. But you see it going on, not just at that international level, but at the level of a parish, at the level of the diocese, at the level of a youth club, youth mission work, that type of thing. People want to move beyond their own borders, their own frontiers, and we're called to do that by the very nature of being baptized Catholics. If you're baptized, you're a missionary. And folks know something about that when they go beyond those borders. They travel a little, especially young folks. They visit other parts of the world. They're touched by the suffering of others. But the motivation to do something really comes from their faith, if it's a complete and authentic motivation. It really has to have that global, and not just global, that transcendental horizon, the God horizon, that is what makes sense of who we are as that one family. It's a one missionary family.
And the idea that that we're all called to be missionaries as part of our baptism is a theme that you've developed, I think, over and over again in your ministry. How can people be missionaries? How can they live out that missionary imperative, that missionary vocation in their regular lives?
The world, and this is what got me into this work a little bit more deeply. I was an oblate, belonged to a missionary order. I spent some time, in a few places, studied in Rome. I'm originally from Liverpool, studied in Dublin for many years. I did some missionary work in Brazil. And you realize, people have said, well, that connectivity in the world through trade and through business and finance has been there. But I think we at an individual level, sitting in front of a computer screen at home, sitting in a school, there's no way in which we're cut off, unless we want to be, from what's going on around the world. Now, what sort of apparatus, moral or ethical or sense of solidarity and basically sense of love that we have for one another, are we applying to that connectivity, that connection we feel when we get the mouse in our hand or we click on a computer screen and see what's going on? Everybody can find out pretty much what's going on around the world. We have this endless ability to be curious about one another, which is tremendous, so long as it's accompanied by that sense of love and sacrifice. And that means we leave that vulnerable, that safe part of ourselves, go beyond those boundaries, whether it's in a school or a parish, not just to mix with the people who look like us in a parish, not just to sort of listen to those who watch what we watch on TV, those types of things, but to really be able to be attentive to one another is really being missionary right where you are. You know, the other side of it, some give by going. They go and they go to other parts of the world, and in the old days they never came back. These days there's a lot more mobility. But others go by giving. You know, the sacrifices that people can make, especially this Lenten season comes upon us, is a time for, as I say, give it up and give it out. Maybe there's nothing too wrong with giving things up. After all, we were all sort of supposed to be doing things extra rather than giving things up, and maybe we can do both. But whatever we do manage to give up during this Lenten season could be done so long as it's part of building up this global family, this body of Christ, which is what is essentially a missionary activity.
And Father, you've had certainly a lot of opportunity to travel the world, to be involved in the mission projects of the church. Could you share a little bit with us, what do you see as the greatest areas of need for the missions today?
Pauline Jericho, way back in the early 1800s, when she was thinking about this missionary society, she had an image of two lamps. One was full of oil, one was empty. And when I first heard this story, I thought to myself, well, presumably the full one is the rich church in France, you know, that sort of had some wealth and whatnot. And the empty lamp is the poor church. At the time, she was concerned about her brother who was a missionary in China. And she'd heard a lot about the French missionaries in the New World in the United States. But actually, when I read the story, it was turned right upside down. After the French Revolution, because the church had been sort of pushed to one side and the notion of faith was somewhat superstitious, she saw her own church as the one with the empty lamp. And she realized that the full lamp was where the faith was strong, oftentimes because it was full of small groups of people, got their backs against the wall maybe, poor environments. You know, they really have to want to be Catholics in mission territory, and that faith is strong and vibrant. And she said, if I support those lamps, those full lamps, they will pour into our empty lamps. I think we see that, you know, and the Holy Father's talked a lot about faith in Europe. We see that in the new evangelization. Cardinal Dolan just gave a speech there before the ceremonies, between the Missio Agentes, which is the real missionary call, between the Missio Agentes and the new evangelization was his topic. So he wrapped it all within the one missionary effort, the first evangelization and what you might call the second evangelization or the new evangelization. Holy Father's call for a year of faith starting in October. I think the question of what we do when we reach out to others has to touch upon our faith. It has to make us go into what it means to be people of faith, to get a language that we can pass on in this day and age to others about what that faith means, how relevant it is, so that we don't just in many ways become secularized in our love and in our charity and our work for justice, that is put within the context of the Christian message.
Thank you, Father. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners about your mission, about your work?
Well, you can go and see what's happening at our website, which is accessible anywhere in the world, as we know, because of the beauty of globalization, onefamilyandmission.org. Lots of stories there about the missions, about way to help missions, some resources there about this wonderful 17-year-old woman who was inspired to found the Propagation of the Faith, and that became the Great Pontifical Society. Find out about us. Join us, talk to children about being missionaries, talk to young people. It's the platform that I think which will give us a lot of life going forward.